to Job, chapter number 36. Job, chapter number 36. While you're turning there, let me, this morning I was trying to get where, said remember Lot's wife, I said Luke 11:32, I thought, but I thought wrong. It's Luke 17:32. Got it on my mind this afternoon, couldn't stand it, had to look it up, find out where it was. That didn't sound right, Luke 11. But anyway, I wanted to had it on my mind, let you know where it is. And I was talking this morning and sharing with you about three common mistakes to man. And tonight I'm picking up on another subject that is certainly, it's not a shouting service as such. It's not, well, I pray somebody gets saved to be some shouting going on. Amen. And God's word, when you preach God's word, you have to preach the whole counsel of God and not pick out just part of it. And this day and time, I realize the fact that God's people, and I'm finding it true, seem like we have to do a whole lot of encouraging and preaching that way, singing that way, and encouraging folk to know that God is good and God does love us in spite of what goes on around us. There's a whole lot going on around us that I don't understand and I don't like, and it certainly is not good, but I'm glad God's still good all the time, and I praise Him and thank Him for it. But God is holy, holy, holy. And sometimes we fail to get a hold of the concept of who God really is. God's not the old man upstairs rocking in a rocking chair. And I don't like that phrase, the man upstairs. Well, man Jesus Christ is up in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. But I want you to know He's holy God. And He's not some Santa Claus. He's not some bellhop. He's not somebody you call on just when you need something. He's to be worshiped and praised and given glory. And someday God is also the God of judgment. I said someday. He's a God of judgment all the time, but someday in your life, you'll find that He's a God of judgment. I want you to stand with me, please, in Job 36, verse number 18. Because there is wrath, beware lest He take thee away with His stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. He said He can take you away with one stroke. And then no ransom's going to be big enough to deliver thee. We was talking about in prayer room tonight, I was asking about the shilling in Kenya, what it's worth. Brother Theo Kasabi has been threatened his life, one of our missionaries there. And they're wanting so much money to let him know what the details are about being contacted to get rid of him. And so we was talking about that. What it really boils down to is they're wanting ransom money. And here he says in this verse of Scripture, there's no ransom great enough to get pay God. Only ransom there is, the only hope there is for man is to be saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, made a new creature in Christ. Outside of that, there's nothing, nothing that man can do or nobody else can do to help you. Well, let's bow our heads just for a word of prayer. Father, I pray You'd help us now as we think about this. And Father, surely there's no ransom outside of Calvary and the blood that was shed for our sin. I thank You, Lord God, for the price that was paid in full for us. But help us tonight now as we try to deal with this subject that You've laid upon our hearts. Lord, I realize my insufficiency for the hour. I need a divine touch. I need Your power to help clear my mind. I pray You'd help me speak plainly and with power. And I pray the Holy Ghost do a work in hearts. God, tonight somebody here in this service could be the last time they'll ever hear a priest's message. Could be the last time the Holy Ghost will ever speak to their heart. And I pray, Father, tonight the power of God would work in a special way. The fear of God come and fall. We realize, Lord, we can't make it happen. And we're not trying to do that. But, Lord, I do want to be faithful. I do want to be honest with Thy word and Thy truth. And I pray you'd seal it to hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching tonight on this subject, and it's been preached on many times, and men have done a much greater job than I'll ever be able to do with it, but the truth of it is still there. Crossing God's deadline. Crossing God's deadline. You remember 1 Corinthians 5:5, Paul said, turn such one over to Satan for destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now he's talking to saved people there and talking about turning them over. I want you to look with me, please, in 1 John chapter number 5. Now we'll be dealing mainly with unsaved tonight, but also saved people need to hear this. And there is a sin unto death for saved people. There's a deadline. There's a thing of crossing God's deadline. And I want you to see that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin, and notice he says his brother, talking about saved people, sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Now, here he's talking to saved people and talking about a sin unto death, and there's a sin not unto death. And dealing with that, you can get in the deep water and have a deep discussion about it, but I say this, and looking at it, studying it, think about it, it boils down to this. If men won't confess their sin, if they are saved and they get out of the will of God and they refuse to confess and refuse to repent and get right and do what God says in his word, they can cross God's deadline. They may be in such a manner that they continually do something that they know is wrong, continually won't listen. And God sends chastening. God sends things to their life to get their attention. And yet they won't heed it. They won't do anything about it. There comes a time God says that's enough. That's enough. And they'll be cut off. And in my lifetime, in my preaching ministry through the years, I've seen a few times where some men and women got cut off. I believe with all my heart God took them out because of some things in their lives, and they knew it, and they deliberately went against the things of God, and God said that's enough and cut it off. You can't play with God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And somehow today people have the idea, I'm saved, going to heaven, so I can just do this and I'll get by with it and nobody will know it, or that kind of thing. You rest assured God knows everything that you do. He knows every thought you have. He knows everywhere you go. He knows all about you. And God may someday say that's enough. I remember one man one time in another church. It's happened here, but I won't talk about that one here. But in another church somewhere where I pastored, and this man got upset about something. I can't even remember what it was about. And he walked out and said, I'll never set foot in this church again. I quit. And he just walked out. And he knew better than that. He knew where he was. He knew what he was doing. And God sent chastening, but he didn't repent. One Sunday morning, I got up to preach, and I noticed a man barely could walk come in the back door, sat down. That was that same man. And God had said, that's enough. And it wasn't many days later, he was gone on into glory. You say you believe he went to heaven. I believe he went to heaven, but I believe he lost every reward he ever got. I believe he could have been something for God and could have had a good testimony, could have been said, well done, how good and faithful servant. But instead of that, he went to glory out of the will of God. He went to glory, not doing what God had him to do. Went to glory running down the church. And now when he come back in, he wasn't running down the church. When he come back in, he knew where he needed to be. He knew where he could get some help. And you better tonight listen to God and let God give you some help. Amen. I'm glad. I believe Brother Walker, somebody prayed tonight. Maybe Brother Jimmy. Talking about being down at the house of God. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. I tell you right now, this church is not perfect. It's made up of imperfect people, but we got a perfect Savior, and we got a place where we can come and worship God, and a place where we try to reach sinners for Christ. We ought to be shouting victory, hallelujah, and thanking God for that. We got a place where people can come in and sing and feel like they're at home. Amen. At least I hope they do. And they're shaking their head yes. So I take that they're in agreement with it. I feel like they're one of us. And I'm glad for having that kind of fellowship with others. Amen. And time to come to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I say hallelujah and praise his holy name. But tonight, let me go on now and pass this thing about the saved. And let's talk about what is God's deadline anyway. I've tried to give you that with the saved people who will not listen, will not repent. And God sent chastening. God's got their attention and they won't hear anything about it. But let me say to the unsaved tonight, blaspheming the Holy Ghost, God said to send unto death. And I realize I don't want to go in the whole depth of this thing about sin against the Holy Ghost. But in that day, when that was said, they were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, who was a prince of the devil to them. And so they were accusing Jesus of doing what he did by the power of the devil. And Jesus said to them, "Ain't not be forgiven in this world, neither the world to come." I take that to mean there's no forgiveness in eternity. We know that. But the world to come, I take that to mean the millennium, which will come, which some people will live in human body like we have into the millennium. And I believe there'll be they could possibly be guilty of that in that day. But I'm saying to you today, a saved person can never be guilty. Fact is, if you're worried about you have blasphemed the Holy Ghost, that's a good sign you hadn't. Because if anybody ever had, they would not even care one bit about it. Because God cut you off, and there'd be no conviction, there'd be nothing about it. And I think in that context, we need to consider that. And I'm not trying to go deep into that because it'd take too much time, and I want to move on in some other areas. But I'm simply saying this tonight. We don't need to be giving the devil any credit for anything God does. Amen. And we need to be careful what we say about what God does and how he does it, because God doesn't work every way like I think he ought to work. He does it his way, his timing. He does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. And I say hallelujah and praise God for his goodness and his glory. And you find that in Matthew chapter 12. Sometimes you want to look it up about verse 31, fall into that. But let me say, selling out your birthright. And you say, "Preacher, I wouldn't sell out my birthright." You wouldn't? Well, I want you to look with me, please, tonight in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 16 and 17. "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Did you hear that? It said Esau had the birthright, but he sold it out for a morsel of meat. And then later, when he would have received the blessing, Jacob deceived his father Isaac for the blessing, and Esau missed it too. And Esau sold, he didn't think nothing about that birthright. He felt like it wasn't worth anything. He came in hungry. You ever come in real hungry from the field working or something and say, "I'm a starving to death"? And that's kind of how Esau was. And he came in weak probably physically and was hungry as he could be. And Jacob was cooking some pottage iron. And he asked him for some of it. And he said, "If you sell me your birthright, I'll let you have some." He sold his birthright. Didn't even think about it. You say, "Preacher, I sell my birthright." You know what some people sell their birthright for? Hey, you have a privilege to get saved. But you know why some people don't get saved? Because they like a dance floor too good. And they'd rather be on the dance floor than be a child of God sitting in the house of God. And then there's some that's messed up in drugs. And there's a rasp up than that. They sell their birthright for the drugs and getting on some kind of high. And let me tell you this tonight. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. And you can rest assured that's not the way to go. Amen. And you need to hear me well tonight, because there's some sitting in this house that need to get saved and born in the family of God. I've had people to tell me, I'm enjoying living in the world. I do this and I do that. And there's what they're saying is, I'm selling out my birthright. I'm not concerned about getting saved. I don't care about that as much as I care about a pleasure of this world. I'm telling you, a sin will have a payday. Be sure your sin will find you out. There'll be a day, there'll come a time, as you would give 10,000 worlds like this, if you could sit in a church service like this tonight and hear a man preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you tonight, friend, people do sell out their birthright. They sell it out. I've talked about prosperity this morning. People sell it out for that. They sell it out for all kinds of things. They sell out their birthright and then go to hell. I'm saying to you tonight, don't sell your birthright. You've got a right to be saved. God loves you. It's not his will that any should perish. And God wants to save you, but don't cross God's deadline and say, sell your birthright out because you're so wrapped up in the world and so wrapped up in something else. As you say, well, I can't give that up. I'm going to drink my beer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Then some people say, well, the preacher don't have any business telling me what I can do and can't do. I'm not trying to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. I'm trying to tell you what God said about it. And what God said about it, not my fault what God said. I'm trying to be honest and a good preacher and tell you the truth about it. And if you're wrapped up in that, you need some help. And God's the only one that can help you. But if you refuse God and refuse him and I'll go on your way, there'll come a day, God said, that's enough. That's enough, and you'll be sell out your birthright, and it'll be gone. So you need to take heed to that. And then send away your day of grace. In Luke chapter number 14 and verse number 18 following there, and I won't try to quote that word for word, but it goes something like this. And the man made a supper, a great supper, and he sent for people to come. And they began to make excuse, the Bible says. And now what people do today, make excuse. And one said, I bought some ground, and I need to go see it. And you'd think he went and looked at it before he ever bought it. He did probably. He just needed an excuse not to come to the supper. So he said, I need to go see it. And said, I pray thee, have me excused. Now that word pray there doesn't mean as we mean pray talking to God. It means please have me excused. And that's what he was asking them for, something to intercede to them that he would excuse them from that. So they were being nice about it, trying to be, but they wouldn't come. Then the next one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And so he's going to now go look at his oxen and plow with them or to pull something with them and prove them. And then the other one said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. He didn't even ask, please be excused. He just said, I've married a wife and I can't come. And got back to the man that gave the supper. He said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. At my house may be full. Hey, listen, God's going to have his full number. God's going to get the right number saved, and the bride's going to be completed. When that happens, we're leaving out of here. It may happen tonight here. It may happen somewhere else in the world. But when it happens, it'll be completed, and there'll be enough to fill the house, and we'll head home. Amen. I'm glad tonight that God has it all under control and knows all about that. And you need to think about this. In Acts 24:25, in here talking about Paul being before Felix, and as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment, Felix trembled and said, at a more convenient time, I'll call for you. You remember King Agrippa said, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Oh, how sad it is to sit in the church, hear preaching, hear singing like you've heard tonight, and be lost and be without God and say no to him. And God say, you're turning me away for the last time and selling out your birthright and not taking a notice to the grace of God, the help of God that God's trying to give to you. I pray God will help you and you'll understand what God's doing. But I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 and verse 10. Now here's the story of the five wise virgins and five foolish. Five wise had oil in their lamps, speaks of the Holy Ghost. They saved. Five foolish didn't have any oil in their lamp. By the way, all the lamps looked alike. All the virgins, you couldn't look at them and tell the difference. And the lamps looked alike. The only thing that was different about them, the wise had oil in their lamps. Hey, some church members, they look right, but they don't have any oil in their lamps. They don't have any Holy Ghost inside. If you ever get saved, the Holy Spirit takes the boat up on the inside. Amen? And you'll know that. And so here they are. They're waiting for the bridegroom to come, and all of them are expecting him to come sometime. And when the cry is made, he's coming. He's coming. And the wise, they get up, trim their lamps. The unwise, the foolish, they get up and try to trim their, and find out they don't have any oil. And they ask all of the wise, but they can't give them their oil so because they wouldn't have any oil. And, of course, a saved person can't get his salvation to somebody else anyway. And so then they're left there. They go buy some. They go out to buy oil, the foolish do. But look at verse number 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Then the next verse says, watch therefore, for you know neither the hour, the day, nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I say to you tonight, you don't know when Jesus is coming, and you might better be saved, because when he comes, you'll be left here, and you'll be left without hope. You say, preacher, if Jesus was to come tonight, but let me illustrate something to you. You would say, if Jesus came tonight, and all of a sudden, everybody saved in this house disappeared, clothes would be laying in the seat, and glasses and false teeth and all that kind of stuff, wigs. I don't have any got wigs on, but anyway. All those kind of stuff be laying in the pew, and then you look around, and you see people gone, and you think, well, I'll get saved now. But you know what? That's a devil's lie to you, because God said that those that have heard and those that had the opportunities and those that could have gotten saved and did not get saved, he said, I'll send them great deception. And now I'll have them deceived, and they will believe a lie and be damned because they would not believe the truth. That's the word of God. And so you don't believe the truth tonight, and Jesus was to come, there's not going to be a chance for you to get saved and you come to Christ. Those who've never heard, those who do not know, they'll have an opportunity to get saved. But I'm saying to you that are heard, you know, but you refuse, you'll be without excuse in that day. And you won't get it to go, and God will cut you off, and you're across God's deadline, and that'll be it for you. I say to you tonight, God help us realize the fact we have now, and right now is all we have. We don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. We don't have some other time to get saved. We have right now. And you sitting in this house that's lost and without God, I'd crawl to the altar if I had to and give my heart to Christ and get saved. You say, but preacher, I'm not ready. I can't live it. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up, because you can't live it. You never get ready in yourself. It's God's ready to save you. God's calling for you. God wants to save you. And you're not here by accident. You're here because God wants you to hear the gospel and get saved. Amen. I'm saying to you tonight, thank God you can get saved tonight and come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then death will come. And Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. You don't know when you're going to die. These young people die. Sister Ann Green, they buried her son-in-law 39 years old this past week. These people, 20-something, die. Look in the obituary column. They're not all 70s and 80s and 90s that pass away. Some's teenagers, some's children, and some, amen. You don't know when you're going to die. Only God knows that. And when you die, it's too late. There's no purgatory. There's nobody going to pray you out of anything, get you out of there. You're either going to heaven or hell, one or the other. You can't go between. There's no in between, no such place. But what happens when we cross God's deadline? That's a good question. I won't take time to read it. But Romans 1:24 talks about God turned them over. God gave them up. Gave them up to work ungodliness. And talks about homosexuality, but a lot of other things, fornication, all that. He gave him up to it. You know why? Because they continued on in it, continued on in it, continued on in it, and God gave them up. In Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about God giving them up. And God said, that's enough. And said, I'll mock when your fear comes. I'll laugh when you call upon me, and I'll not hear you. People say, well, I'll call on God when I want to. No, you won't. You'll call on God when God wants you to call. And then and God's calling for you tonight, and then you better call on God tonight. God said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. The spirit of God's not striving man, he'll not get saved. He'll not come to Christ. Proverbs 29:1 says this, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, that without remedy. Suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. How do you keep from passing, crossing God's deadline, preacher? Only way to keep from crossing God's deadline, number one, if you're saved, is confess your sin. He said, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sin, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember Angie Smith standing up here and testifying tonight that they joined the church and got some, the children got, one, Christopher got saved, and she was testifying. And I remember her saying to the young people, don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to all that stuff that draws you out there and tells you what a good time you're having. You think, I don't have to pay attention to the preacher. I have to pay attention to what they say in the church. I don't have to pay attention to that. There's a lot of people in hell. But give 10,000 world set where you sit. They heard, but they wouldn't hear. They heard with the ears, but they wouldn't hear with the heart. Get saved, born in the family of God. But you that are saved, you know and you hear what God's saying. You hear what God's saying to you. You need to get saved and born in the family of God. If you don't, you'll be lost forever. Lost forever. If I come by your house and I saw it on fire and I knew you were screaming inside and I knew I could break a window or something and pull you out and I wouldn't do that, I'd just drive on by and say, well, I hope I get out. Let it go at that. I'd be a sorry piece of humanity. I'd be a sorry piece of humanity. You tonight that if I could, I'd crawl to you. I'd pull you to the altar. But that's not going to save you. You've got to break your will to the will of God and come to Christ and be saved. So you that are unsaved tonight, you're going to go on. One day, someday, you'll cross the deadline. It'll be over. You can't say, we didn't tell you. We've tried to help you. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, you know our hearts tonight. You know everyone that's here. You know those who are tonight in the house of God. They're here. They're not hearing. I pray the Holy Spirit would break through so they could hear. Then there are those here tonight that are listening. They're hearing, but not obeying. I pray tonight, Lord, be the night. They would give it up and say, Jesus, save me. Come to know him and have a new life in Christ. Live forever and forever with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's hope. There's help. And I pray tonight before folk cross that deadline, they'll come to Jesus. I pray tonight now, Lord, over the house, the fear of God, the power of God fall. This invitation, Lord, is so important. I pray, Lord, you'd help us. We yield it to you. Holy Ghost, do your work. In Jesus' name, amen.